Today's daf is Megillah Daf Yud Aleph, and we are 20 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Amid Beis, Rabbi Yonis and Pasach Lo Pischa Lahai Parshasa Mehacha. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema. For Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chaim Aaron ben Fega, Tamar bas Chasida from Rivka, Eliyosa ben Brindle, Mordechai Israel ben Esther, Chana Rivka bas Freida, Menachem Mendel ben Rachel Mindel, Yaakov Aaron Tzvi ben Yuta, Gittel bas Chaya, Sarah Nechama bas Rus Malka, Nosen Yosef ben Yehudis, Gedalia Eliezer ben Roiza, Chayin Nechama Edel bas Sarah, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Moshe ben Sarah, Sarah Sheintze bas Yitol, Elio ben Silla, Etel bas Hendela, Hena Perel bas Yecheved, Rafal Kos ben Fega, and Baruch ben Rachel. Today's daf's also being learned as a schus for Sarah bas Margalit, that she should be Zoicha to a Shidduch Bekarev. Today's daf's also being learned to Ilu Nishmas Meir ben Arya Leib HaLevi. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we began the next phase of the Masechta, which is the Gemara's Pirush, the Teresh Baal Peh of Megillas Esther. So we're going to continue on that note. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonason Pasach Lo Pischa Lahai Parshas Mehacha. Rabbi Yonason, before he would give shir on Megillas Esther, he would begin with the following pasuk. And the truth is, we're going to see throughout the first part of the daf, the Gemara is going to mention different amayuraim, what they would say, what their psicha shir was to Megillas Esther. And this is not something you find anywhere else in Chazal, meaning you don't see a Gemara that discusses how the Amoraim would preface the Shiurim that they gave on Hilchas Pesach or on Hilchas Shavuos. For some reason, the Gemara makes an emphasis on the Shiur that the Amoraim would give before they learned Megillas Esther and what exactly it was. The Chassam Sofer, one of his drashas, says that he thinks the reason is because when you go through the story of Purim, it's not 100% evident that there are miracles taking place. The whole miracle of Purim was a nes nistar, and as a result, the Chachamim felt that it was incumbent upon them to be able to bring out the layers of the miracle so that the Olam would appreciate what exactly the Pursume Nis is all about, why exactly they're getting drunk. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Why we're clapping during Haman? Why there's such a mitzvah to be besimcha in an exaggerated way? Meaning, the Pesach story, we understand. There were miracles that took place. The sea was split. There were 10 makis, avodah mayinu, fayotzienu. But the Purim story is really benister. And the more a person's able to uncover what's going on, the more he's able to deher the Purim story. And that's why the Amiram used to give a psicha shir. The idea of the psicha shir was to try to give the olam a little bit more of a feel of what's going on. Either way, that's exactly what the Gemara does, and says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonason used to open with the following pasuk. Yishaya Novi said, "V'kamti aleihem, v'hechrati lebav al shem u'sha'ar v'nin v'nechen u'mashem." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he's going to take revenge from Bavel. Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed the first base HaMikdash, and Hashem says that I'm going to take revenge. How am I going to take revenge? V'hechrati. I'm going to cut off from the Lashon of Kares. What am I going to cut off? Shame, Sha'ar, Nin, and Nechad. So Rabbi Yonason Darshan, Shame Zeh HaKsav, that the Ksav of Bavel was eradicated from the world. Sha'ar Zeh Lashon, their language, the ancient language that the Babylonians spoke, was cut off. Nin Zeh Malchus, the Malchus of Bavel came to an end. It lasted 70 years. V'neched Zu Vashti. And then there's a descendant of Bavel that one day would have her own personal Mapola, and that's referring to Vashti, who we're going to learn was a grandchild of Nebuchadnezzar. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeini Pasach L'Pischa Lahai Parshas Mehacha. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeini would give shir on Esther. He would open with the following: Tachas Hanatzutz Yale Virosh, V'Tachas Hasirpad Yale Hadas. This is also a pasuk in Yeshaya. This is a better known pasuk, as it's in the Haftorah that we read on a Tainus Tzibur. Zatachas ha-natzutz yale v'roish. In lieu of the thorns, wood is going to grow. V'tachas ha-sirpad yale hadas. And where the sirpad was, now all of a sudden there's going to be hadasim. So Rav Shmuel Nachmeini Darshan, and tachas ha-natzutz, tachas homen ha-rosh, shasa asmei avodah zarah. Natzutz is referring to homen ha-rosh. And the reason he's called natzutz is because he made himself an avodah zarah. What does natzutz have to do with avodah zarah? The chsiv, u'b'chol ha-natzutzim, u'b'chol ha-nal. And that means Avodah Zarah. Yalav Eroish Zem Mordechai. Mordechai came and he took over Haman's position. Haman was the Mishnah L'melech, and then Mordechai, V'nahapachula Yehudim, took over that spot. What does Beroish have to do with Mordechai? Shenikra Roish L'chol HaBesamim. Because Mordechai is the choicest of all the Besamim. Shenemar V'ata Kach L'cho Besamim Roish. Take, this is for the Ketores, the Besamim Roish, the best of all the Besamim. What is that? Mordorar. Umetargumina, if you look at the Targum on the words Mordorar, it says Maridachi, which is a remez to Mordechai. So Mordechai was called Roish HaBesamim, he's called Mordorar. So Tachas HaNatzot Yale Beroish, Beroish is referring to the Roish, the most chashuv of all the besamim, that's Mordechai. Tachas asirpa yalla hadas. What does that mean? Tachas asirpa is a tachas Vashti or Risha. It's referring to Vashti. Bas benoishel Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. She was an enoch called Nebuchadnezzar. She saref refidas beis Hashem. She destroyed the resting place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dechsev refidasai zahav. So sirpad is a combination of two words. Saref, Refidasai. She is an enakel of the one that destroyed the first base of Mikdash, and who came in her place? Yalla Hadazu, Esther at Sadekis, Shenikras Hadasa. Esther was called Hadasa, Shenemar, it's a pasuk in the Megillah, Vayihi Oimein Es Hadasa. Mordechai raised Hadasa. You see another name for Esther is Hadasa. Behoil Hashem L'shem. That's the next part of the pasuk, Zumikra Megillah. The Ois Oilam Lo Yikaris, Elu Yimei Purim. Purim is a time that's Lo Yikaris. The Marsha says this Gemara is another makar to this idea that the Rambam says in the end of Perek Beis of Hilchas Megillah, and that is that even though all the Yomim Tovim are going to be batal, but at the same time, Purim is never going to be batal. La'ois oylam lo yikare, says the Gemara, elu yumei Purim. And the truth is, this is something that we've seen already a few times throughout the Masechta. The Gemara said on Daf Zayin Amid Aleph, all the different makaris, how we know that Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra, Rabbi Yosef said, because it says, v'yimei ha-Purim ha'elo lo yavru mitoicha Yehudim. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said, v'zichron lo yosef mizarim. And this was Beruach HaKodesh because it's meant to be taken literally. There's a haftacha that the Yontif of Purim will always be celebrated. The Gemara said that Megillas Esther has to be read at night and it has to be read again during the day. Chayiv Adam Likros is HaMegillah B'layla U'lishanoi Sabiyot Shenemat L'man Yizamercha Chavoid V'lo Yidoyim Hashem Eloi Kai Lo'oyla Maidaka. And the Marsha says on that Gemara, Megillah Daf Dalet Amid Aleph, what does it mean Lo'oyla Maidaka? This idea that Purim is going to be around forever. So there's this concept that repeats itself again and again, and that is even though all the Yomim Tovim have an expiration date, but Purim goes forever. This is another Makar, says the Marsha. Lo'ois Oylam Lo'yikares, which is a pasuk in Yeshaya Nun Hey, what is it referring to? Yemei Apur. Rabbi Shul ben Levi, Pasach Lo'pischa, Lahai Parsha Samihach. Rabbi Shul ben Levi, when he would give shir, Amigil says he would begin with the following pasuk. This is a pasuk in the Toichacha Parshas Kisavai. Very scary pasuk. Hashem says that just like I was happy, I was so besimcha to give you bracha, there's going to be a day where Yosis Lahara Eschem, Hashem is going to be just as besimcha bringing tzaris to Klal Yisrael. Freik the Gemara, how could you even read a pasuk like this? Umi chodi HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mapalasin shal resham, no niach. The dar of the Toichacha will be a dar where the Yidden will be resham. But still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy when he brings punishment to Rishon Vaksiv. The pasuk says, and the pasuk was describing Melech Yehoshaphat. He was one of the Malchi Yisrael who was going out to fight with the Ammonim. And it says over there that they went, when they went out to fight, they said, Hoidu Lashem ki loyolam chazlev. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan made a dirk. Everyone knows. It's not Hoidu Lashem. It's Hoidu Lashem ki toiv ki loyolam chazlev. Right? There's two words that are very noticeably missing. Hoidu Lashem ki loyolam chazlev. Hoidu Lashem ki toiv. So Rabbi Yochanan was bothered with this. He said, Mibnei Malui nemar ki toiv by dazu. Why were the words ki toiv skipped? He said, L'fisha'inan kadosh baruch hu samech b'mapalten shal rishon. The reason is because they're going to fight a war. And even though the bad people are going to die, but still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never happy when a Rasha dies. Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the same point in another context, better known. The pasuk that says, this is referring to the night of Kriyas Yamsuf, and it says, Pasha, what does it mean? The two camps, the Egyptians are chasing after the Jews, and they didn't come close to each other. But Rabbi Yochanan said a drasha. He said, "Bikshu Malachi Asharis loy mashira." You know who was v'loy karav zel zekal alayla? The Malachi Asharis. They wanted to sing shira that night. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu masi yodai toivim bayom. Va'atem oimrim shira masi yodai toivim bayom. The Egyptians are about to die. How could you rejoice? How could you sing shira? What do you mean? The Egyptians are rishayim. They're getting what they deserve. Think about what they did to the Jews all these years. They're the Nazis of that Kufa. Why can't we sing Shira? The teretz is because as much as there's din v'cheshben, but at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not besimcha when people suffer, even if the people that are suffering are people that deserve to suffer. So what's the kasha? The pasuk says in the Teuchecha, kasha sasa Hashem alekeichem lehetev eschem, ken yosis lahara eschem. Hashem says, just like I was happy when I was giving you bracha, now I'm going to be happy when you're going to have tzaris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy when people have tzaris. Even when the Egyptians, he didn't let them alach. So what does the pasuk mean? I'm Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said, what it means is, who ain't us, right? Because Baruch himself will not be besimcha when bad things happen, even to bad people. However, he will sometimes cause other people to rejoice. And that's what the pasuk means. Not Hashem himself is going to be besimcha, but Hashem will make others be besimcha. And it's actually meduyik in the pasuk, because the pasuk says, ken yosis, for like siv ken yosus. So this is diktok. Had it said ken yosus, it would mean Hashem himself is besimcha. Ken yosis means Hashem is making others be besimcha. Shma mina. So it's pretty clear that that must be what the pasuk means. Yesterday we spoke about the word vayehi, that wherever it says vayehi, it's a lashon tzar. And the truth is the Gemara says that it's only vayehi bimei that's a lashon tzar. But we spoke out that the Zohar says in a few places that it's not just vayehi bimei, it's also vayehi. Although Vayihi Bimei is serious tsar, Vayihi is only a little bit of tsar. And there's a lot of kashas that the Mefarshim ask from different places. One of the kashas is the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh's kasha. In the beginning of Parashas Beshalach, Vayihi Beshalach Parayas Ha'om. Vayihi Beshalach Parayas Ha'om. This is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Zeh Hayoim Kivinu Loi. This is the day they've been waiting for. 210 years in Egypt, 86 years of Vayimaru Es Chayim. Finally, the Jews are being led out. This is 1945. Vayihi Beshalach Parayas Ha'om. How could it be a Vayihi of a Lashon Tzar? And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, you're right. For the Jews, this is the best day ever. Finally, they're being led out of Mitzrayim. But what's about to happen? They're going to go to Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Egyptians are going to die. And the Gemara says, Masa and that's why the Torah says Vayihi. It's out of a sensitivity to Paroi and of Mitzrayim. From the Yidin's perspective, it's a V'hoya B'shalach Paroi Ezaham. It's a day of Simcha, but for mankind in totality, today's not a good day. One of the great kingdoms of the ancient world is about to be destroyed. Vayihi b'shalach paray esam. Rab Abba Bar Kahana posach lo pischolai parshas miyachal. When Rab Abba Bar Kahana would say Shem Megillas Esther, he would begin with the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki lo adam shetoyv lefanov nasan chachma v'das v'simcha." Said Rab Abba Bar Kahana. Who is that referring to? Is that Mordechai Tzadik? Mordechai Tzadik had chachma, he had das, and he also had simcha. He was one of the members of the Sanhedrin. But at the same time, simcha as well. And Hashem puts an idea inside the mind of the chayte that he should have this taiva to want to amass tremendous wealth. Zeh Haman is referring to Haman. That's the end of the pasuk. And the reason the Rasha gets all this wealth is to eventually give it to the tzaddik. Zeh Mardchai v'Esther. It's referring to Mardchai v'Esther. The chesiv is a pasuk in the Megillah. Batasam Esther es Mardchai al beis Haman. Esther gave Mordechai beis Haman. So eventually all the money, all the wealth of Haman ended up coming back to who? To Mordechai HaTzadik. The Medrash says that what happened with all that money? What did Mordechai do with it? So he took that money and used it to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. So we'll talk more about this at the end of the daf. But Haman's money was the money that financed the second Beis HaMikdash. So who paid for the second Beis HaMikdash? Haman. Rabbi Bar Oifron says the Gemara, Pasach Lapischalai Pashas Miyaka. Rabbi Bar Oifron, when he would give Shehi, he would begin with the following Pasach. Vasamti Kisi Be'elam, Vavadati Nisham Melech Vesorim. Melech Zuvashti Vesorim, Ze Haman Vaseres Bonav. So Vasamti Kisi Be'elam, my throne is going to be in Elam, and from there, there's going to be a Melech and Sorim that are going to be wiped out. The Melech is referring to Vashti, and the Sorim is referring to Haman Vaseres Bonav. Not a lot of Toistvis in today's daf, but there's a short Toistvis on the bottom of Daf Yudamid Beis. It's sandwiched in between the Gemara. Dibra Maskel Rabba Bar Oifron. So Rashi said, Tosfos says that the right girsa is Oifron, the way we have it in our Gemara. As opposed to what? Apparently, Tosfos was aware of another girsa. There were certain manuscripts that said Rabba Bar Ephron. But Tosfos says, V'loy Gersin and Ephron. D'shem Risham Mirkov, V'loy Maskel B'shmai. He says, I just can't believe that there was an Amoira whose father's name was Ephron. Right? We know that we take names very, very seriously. Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, Shem Risham Yirkov. And there's an idea, the Gemara talks about it in Mesechtes Yuma, Daflam et Ches. Now, you don't name people after Rishoyim. So, Rabba Bar Ephron. So Tosfos says, I can't can't believe that's the Girsa. I'm changing the Girsa, going out on a limb and saying the Girsa is Rabba Bar Ephron. It's not Rabba Bar Ephron. There's another place where Tosfos does the same thing. This is a Tosfos in Ksubas, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, in the beginning of the 13th Perek of Masechtas Ksubas. So it's called Perek Shtei Daini, and the Mishnah begins, Shnei Daini Gzeres Hoyeb Yerushalayim. There were two judges in Yerushalayim. One's name was Admon, and the other one's name was Hanan Ben Avishalayim. And Tosfos says that there were manuscripts that had his name as being Hanan Ben Avishalayim. But Rabbeinu Tam changed the Gersa. He said because Avishalom's legacy is the son that wanted to kill David HaMelech. And he was someone that at the end of the day is not considered a tzaddik. To the contrary, he's a Rasha. And Rabbeinu Tam felt that Avshalom is included in Shem Rishon Mirkov. And he says it's for that reason I don't believe that there would have been someone mentioned in a Mishnah, a great person whose father's name was Avshalom. Must be there's a yud that's missing in the manuscript. It's Hanan ben Avishalom. So the Bali Tosfos felt that this idea of Shem Rishon Yirkov is so powerful that they're changing your size. It's not Rabba Bar Ephron, it must be Rabba Bar Ephron. It's not Hanan ben Avishalom, but rather it's Hanan ben Avishalom. Interesting. Zok Gemara Abdimi Bar Yitzchok Pasul Bisgalay Bar Shalom Yehocha. He would begin with the following pasuk. It says, "Ki avodam anachnu, we're slaves. Ubaavduseinu lo yazavonu elikein v'yetlenu chesed lefnei malchei paras." But at the same time, even when we went through our periods of bondage, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never forsake us. When was this? Bizman Haman. So in the times of Haman, we were very vulnerable. We were avodim, but at the same time, ultimately, we were redeemed. The pasuk says in Tehillim, so there's some tkufa where the Yidden, they survived Eish and Mayim. But Eish be made of Vuchanetzer or Rasha. It was in the time of the Vuchanetzer. It's referring to Hananya, Mishal, Vazariah, who were thrown into the Kivshon Eish by Nevuchanetzer. So we were Banu Be'ish. What's Bamayim be made Paroi? That was in the times of Paroi. Paroi made a Gzerah, this week's parasha, that every baby boy that's born should be thrown into the river. He should be thrown into the Nile. So that's Banu Bamayim. Vatoitzienu l'revoy, that's the end of the pasuk. That's Bimei Haman. It's referring to the times of Haman. The Marsha says that the word revoya is a lashon of mishta. Koisi revoya. Said it's a lashon of mishta. And we describe the story of Purim as Vatoitzienu l'revoya, because the Yeshua of Purim happened through a mishtah, happened through a party that was a wine-based party. Initially, Vashti. Vashti gets killed, and that's planting the seeds for the Purim story. When was Vashti killed? During the mishtah. And then ultimately, Esther makes a party, mishtah Esther, which is where Haman gets called out, where the Yeshua happens. So there were two mishtah, he says the Marsha, that brought the Geula. One on the front end of the story, and one at the end of the story. The front end it was Vashti, on the back end it was Esther, but the point is Vatoitzienu l'revaya miloshen koisi revaya. This is l'chura, the reason why there's a mitzvah, or one of the reasons of Chayavinish l'psume bepuryo adaloyada, because you see the revaya was a big deal, it played a tremendous role in the Purim story. When did the whole world see Yeshua Salikenu? It happened during the time of Mordechai Vesin. The Marsha says because Achashverosh was Moilech Mehoidavad Kush, and all these Igerises and the whole inyan of the story really impacted the entire scope of the Malchus of Achashverosh, which was the entire world. So it's for that reason it's Ro Kol Afseyaretz Es Yeshua Salikir. This wasn't some local, regional type miracle. This was very global. Rish Lakish Pasak Lo Pischa Lo Parshasa Mehacha. So what was Rish Lakish's drasha? He said over the Pasuk in Mishli, Ari Noyheim, the lion roars, the Doiv Shoikik, and the beer makes noise. Moishal Rasha Al Amdal. In the same vein, the Rasha is Moishal on a poor nation. So I said, Ari Noyim is in Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. It's referring to Nebuchadnezzar, the Chesiv Ola Aryeh B. Subka. Yirmiyo described Nebuchadnezzar as a lion. Toiv Shoikik Zachashverish. It's referring to Achashverish. The Chesiv Be, it says in Daniel, Varucheva Ochari Senyona Dom Yuladoiv. So Hashem showed Daniel the four Goliaths that the Yidden would go through, and each Goliath was compared to an animal. Paras was compared to a beer. Fatani, Rav Yosef, Elu, the reason they were compared to a beer is because in many ways they resembled beers. They're parsim, sha'ichlam v'shoisim, they eat and drink like beers. Mutzumbal and basar, they're bali basar kedoiv like a beer. Umegadlan seir kedoiv, they're hiri like beers. Ve'inla menucha kedoiv, and they never sit still like a beer. Moishol rasha ze'haman, al am dal, elu yisrael, sheim dalim, min ha-mitzvahs. Rabbi Laza, pasuk la'pizuk la'i pashasa me'hacha. Ba'atzal taim yimech ha-makar, pasuk in koyhelas. When a person's lazy, eventually there's a leak in the ceiling. Uveshiflas yadayim, yidloif ha-bayis. And when a person doesn't take care of what he needs to take care of, so again, one thing leads to another. So small leak becomes a big leak. Eventually, the whole roof caves in. So darshin Rabbi Lazar. Because of the laziness of the Yidden, because of laziness, that the Yidden didn't do what? They didn't learn Torah. Nasa soynoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mach. So ba'atzal tayim yimach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochol became poor. Now, that obviously can't mean literally, but it means Hashem acted as if he was poor, as if he didn't have the necessary funds to bail out the Jews. That's the point. Ve'in mach elu ani shenem evim mach umeir kecha. Mach is always a lashon of anius. Ve'in mekar elu HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenem ha-mekar b'mayim al yoysof. So ba'atzal tayim, because of the laziness of the Yidden, what was the laziness? They were too lazy to steig in learning. Yimach ha-mekara, the mekara, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yimach became poor. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Pasul, Pesach Lai Pashasam Yacha. Shir ha-malis, Lulei Hashem Shehayu Lanu Yemenu Yisrael, Lulei Hashem Shehayu Lanu Bekum Aleinu Adam. So David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had you not been with us, Bekum Aleinu Adam, we would have been in big trouble. Adam Alei Melech, it sounds like an Adam, there was an Adam that once attacked the Jews that wasn't a king. Usually kings attacked us. Paroi, Nebuchadnezzar, usually thinking of a Melech. Adam, Haman. Haman is an Adam. He wasn't a Melech. And this is a special tefillah for Adam. Rav Pasuk Pesach Lai Pashasam Yacha. Bervois tzadikim yismach ha'am. When the tzadikim have it good, everybody's happy. Ubimshol Rasha. But when the dictator, the Rasha, he rules, ye'anach ha'am. Then everybody's sad. Bervois tzadikim yismach ha'am. Zamartcha v'Esther. Dechziv ho'ir shushan. Zahola v'samecha. So at the end of the story, everybody was besimcha. Ubimshol Rasha ye'anach ha'am. Zahaman dechziv ho'ir shushan. Nevoicha. Rav Matna ama me'hacha. Rav Matna. He would begin like this. He would say the pasuk, "Ki mi goy gadol, asher lo yelikim kroivim elav, kashem elikenu bechol kareinu elav." That was the pasuk that he would begin with. Rav Ashi Amar Mehacha. Rav Ashi would begin with the following pasuk. It says, "Oy hanisa elikim." And the end of the pasuk is loving the kachas like goyim care of goyim masters but isuf moys mo khamiyot khazak zayin atuv and ram gadon kachal ash asaf kham asham lekh kham mitzrayim lenakh that Hashem took a nation from a nation, Hashem redeemed the Jews from this whole mess, and that's the pasuk that he would quote. But Rav Masno, the pasuk he would say is kimi goy gadol asher lo yelikim kroivim elav. It's a very interesting maramakim, and this is in the Rambam. In the beginning of Sefer Mada. So in the beginning of Sefer Mada, the Rambam lists the minyan ha-mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs. Rambam wrote a whole Sefer ha-mitzvahs, like the Chinuch did. But at the end of the Sefer ha-mitzvahs, which is right before the beginning of Mada, so the Rambam talks a little bit about the 613 mitzvahs. Elohim sheish meyos v'sholish etzrei mitzvah shenemer lo nemoish mesinai. And then he says that even though there's 613 mitzvahs, and you're not allowed to add, because if you add to the 613 mitzvahs, you're going to violate Bal Tosef, but at the same time, the Nevi'im and the Chachamim at different times, they did add. And the Rambam then throws in one line. He says like this, that the Nevi'im added mitzvahs, for example, Mikra Megillah. So listen to the way he describes Mikra Megillah. Sha'neviim embezed in Tiknu v'tzivu likros ha-Megillah boi nasai. The Neviim, they instructed that the Yidden should read the Megillah in the proper time. Kidei. Lahaskir shvachav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To remember the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uchshuay sha'asalanu. And all the miracles. V'hayakarev l'shaveinu. And to the fact that Hashem was close to us when we called out to Him. Kidei levarchoy u'lahaloloy. And here's the punchline. So that we can notify the future generations. She'emes, it's true. What Hashem promised us in the Torah. What did Hashem promise us? Ki mi goy gadol asheloy elikim kroivim elav kashem elikenu b'chol kareinu elav. Unbelievable. The Rambam says the reason we make such a big deal about the Purim story, or one of the reasons we make such, what do you mean? Persume Nisa, we have to be mafaris and the nes. I know, but this is something that's forever. Why are we making such a huge deal about this? So you can think of a million reasons. Says the Rambam, I'm going to tell you the reason. The reason is because this is a sign that when the Eibishter tells you something in the Torah, it's emes. This is exhibit A. It's a real life example. The punchline of the Purim story is that we were in a big trouble. We davened, we fasted, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered our tefillah. It's interesting. That is the emphasis, and that's what the Rambam says. And that's the way Rav Masna used to begin his shir. Ki mi goy gadol ashalay elikim, krei v'meilav kashem elikeinu b'chol kareinu elav. So we're going to take a pause from the psicha shiurim, from Megillas Esther, just for a moment. Vayhi b'mei HaChashverosh. Amar Rav said that the word vayhi is made up of two words. Vay v'hi. Which, of course, is in line with what we saw in yesterday's daf. The Vayihi is a Lashon Tsar. Vayihi is a Lashon of groaning. Hado dechsev v'ismakartem sham bo'ivecha lavodem v'lishvachas. Now, the Pasuk sounds like it's saying you're going to be sold to slaves. Okay, what does that have to do with anything? So, there's a v'goymer, and Rashi says, just like in the first Rashi, Masechtas Tainis, the punchline is the v'goymer. Here, the punchline is the v'goymer. Because the end of the Pasuk, it says, v'ein koina. You're going to be sold as slaves. No one's going to want to buy you. Apparently, that happened during the Purim story. No one even wanted to buy Jewish slaves. V'shmul ha-mashmul, when he used to darshan Megillas Esther, he would begin with the pasuk, lo ma'astim, v'lo ga'altim l'chaloysam l'hafir b'yitam k'ani Hashem l'keim. And this is a pasuk in the Teichacha. And the pasuk says that even when things are going to be terrible, but at the same time, Hashem says, I'm never going to completely forsake you. In the darkest times, I'll still be looking out for you. And he darshan the pasuk, lo ma'astim yimei Yevon. It's referring to the times of the Yevon. V'lo ga'altim yimei Nebuchadnezzar, l'chaloysam yimei Haman, l'hafir b'yitam yimei Parsim, k'ani Hashem l'keim yimei goy g'magon. These are different kufas where the Yidden had tzaras, and during all those kufas is a special avtocha. Like Ma'astim is this galus, like Altim is that galus. But Masnisatan, there was a braiso that had a little bit differently. Like Ma'astim, we make Kazdim during the times of the Kazdim. Shemadati lahem Daniel, Chananya, Mishal, Vazario. These were the three leaders, or three of the leaders, that really watched over the Yidden during that time. V'loi ga'altim b'mei Yevonim, the times of the Greek. Shemadati lahem Shimon HaTzadik, v'chashmoinoi Yevonov, u'matisyoi Kohen Gadol. They helped the Yidden during the times of the Yevonim. L'chaloysam b'mei Haman, shemadati lahem Mordechai v'Esther. L'hofi b'risin itam b'mei Parsim, the times of the Persians. Shemadati lahem shal beis Rebbe, where the family of Rebbe looked out for Yidden during the Persians. Clearly, you have to be Magia the Gersa, because Rebbe wasn't at the times of the Parsim, he's more in the times of the Romans. No time to go through this, but we have related raid bites on this, as we do on so many of these Gemaras. Rabbi Levi, he used to begin his Shiurim Amagilas Esther with the following pasuk. A pasuk about Midbar. So the pasuk says that when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, they had to make sure that they got rid of all the people that were living there at the time. And then the pasuk says, if you're not going to do it, what's going to happen? You're going to end up having tzaras. So what does that have to do with the Purim story? Because Kachava, the Haman, was a descendant of Amalek. And Shaul HaMelech had an opportunity to wipe out Agag, who was Haman's Elta Zeda, which technically would have prevented this whole thing from happening. He didn't do it, and that's really an embodiment of this pasuk. Rabbi Chiya would say the following pasuk, which is the very next pasuk after the pasuk that we just mentioned. Same idea. Achashverosh. Moving along. So, Vayihi Bimei. Now we're up to Achashverosh. So who was Achashverosh? Amar Rav, Achiv Shal Rosh. He was the brother of the Rosh, Uben Giloy Shal Rosh. And he had the same mazel. He thought the same way as the Rosh. Achiv Shal Rosh, who's the Rosh? Achiv Shal Nebuchadnezzar Rosh. He's the brother of Nebuchadnezzar Rosh. Nikra Rosh. Shenema Antu Reisho Didahava. Nebuchadnezzar was called the Rosh. Ben Giloy Shal Rosh. Shehu Harag, Hu Bikesh Larik. Very similar to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar killed. He was a murderer. Achashverosh wanted to. Hu Hechriv. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, who bikesh lahachrif. He wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. How do you know that? Shenamer, ubemalchus achashverosh, betchilas malchusai, kasmu sitna al yoishve Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Achashverosh at some time during his reign played a role in halting the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, as we'll see more about later. V'shmul, Lama Shmul said, the reason he's called Achashverosh was shehushcharu pneim shal Yisrael b'yom shal tshuva k'deir. Because there were so many bad gzeiros, it was so hard for the Yidden during that time, that their faces became black, like the shulei k'deir, like the bottom of a pot. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kol shezoicha, anyone that would think of Achashverosh, say Achashverosh, oi! Achle roishoy, woe to roishin. Rabbi Chanina Amar, shakol nasir roshin biyomav. It's miloshin poor. Shenema vayosim amelech achashverish mas. He raised taxes, and he taxed the people to such a degree that everybody became poor. Hu achashverish. So vayhi bimei achashverish, hu achashverish. What does hu mean? Hu berisha mitchilas v'atzoyfi. He was the zelba fleshiger rosha from the beginning of his life till the end of his life. Meaning, he never had any here. He was a rosha in the beginning of his reign, and he was a rosha at the end of his. Hu Esav. Similarly, you find by Esav the same same idea. Hu berishai mitchilasei v'atzayfai. Yishmol did tshuva. Right, there are different people that we know did tshuva, not Esav. Esav is berishai mitchilasei v'atzayfai. Hu dasen v'aviran, heim berishan mitchilasen v'atzayfan. Hu amelech achas, hu berishai mitchilasei v'atzayfai. Avram, hu Avram, hu betzitkoi mitchilasei v'atzayfai. Avram was a tzaddik mitchilasei v'atzayfai. Hu Aaron, hu Moshe, heim betzitkoi mitchilasei v'atzayfan. V'David, hu akatan, hu bekatnusei mitchilasei v'atzayfai. David was always an anav. What was the chiddush? K'shem shebekatnusei hikta natzor itz mishgal b'men abatayr. Just like when David Melech really was katan, when he was younger. Before he was David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, he was Makdin Atzma, he was an Anav, Kach B'Malchusai, when he became king, Hikdin Atzma, Yitzim Mishagol B'Menem B'Chachmo, he continued with that same Mahalach. So we mentioned a whole bunch of different people in Tanakh where you find the word who, and who means they were consistent, they were the same beginning and end. The interesting one to note is Avram Avinu. Avram, who Avram, who betzidkai mitchilasei v'atzayfai. The Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah that Avram Avinu was 40 years old when he was Makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal say he was 48 years old when he was Makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how could you say that Avram Avinu was betzidkai mitchilasei v'atzayfai? He struggled, seemingly, in the idea of emunah during the earlier part of his life. So how could we say he was a tzaddik mitchilasei v'atzayfai? We have a related rabbi on that. Hamoylech. So vayibi me'ach hashverosh, hu ach hashverosh, hamoylech mihoidu v'akush. Amar Rav, what does it mean that he was moylech? Shemalech me'as. He was never voted in, but he formed the military and he went as a dictator and he took over the malchus. Amidol, the shvach v'lam ha'gah. Some say it was a good thing, some was a bad thing. Amidol, the shvach v'lam ha'gah. Amidol, the shvach v'lam ha'gah. He was malach me'atzmoy because he was the most appropriate. Amidol, the gnaid, the ha'chazi, the malchusa. Really, he wasn't worthy. My money, yaseru, the yavah, come. He bribed people off and that's the way he became king. Me hoidu v'yad kush. Rabbi Shulman was machlek is Rabbi Shulman. Chadamah one said, hoidu b'soif ha'olam, v'kush b'soif ha'olam. Hoidu and kush were two opposite sides of the world and he ruled from hoidu until kush. Chadamah, the other one said, hoidu v'kush gab yadad yavakami. They were right next to each other. U'kishem shemolach al hoidu v'ad kush, kach molach m'soif ha'olam ad soif. Just like it was very easy for him to be molach m'hoidu v'ad kush. They're right next to each other. So in that same way, he was able. Meaning, if Hoidu and Kush are two opposite ends of the world, what's the emphasis? The emphasis is he ruled on the whole world. If Hoidu and Kush are next to each other, what's the emphasis? It's more than just that he ruled on the whole world. Kishem Shemolach. He did it with ease. It came very, very smoothly. Similarly, you find by Shloim HaMelech, Ki hu roide b'chol eiver hanar mi tifsach v'adaz. Rav Shmuel, Machlokes Rav Shmuel. Chadamah once said tifsach b'soif eilam v'adaz b'soif eilam. Tifsach and Adaz are two opposite ends of the world. Chadamah once said tifsach v'adaz b'ad yadad yavakami. They were right next to each other. U'kashem shemolach al tifsach v'adaz. Just like he was able to rule on tifsach v'adaz. Kach molach al kol eilam kudu sot. He was able to rule on the entire world. Shev avi esrim meya medina. 127 medinas. I'm Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said, Betchila Malach Hasheva. First he ruled on 7. Ubesay Malach Anasim. Then he got another 20. Ubesay Malach Hamed. Then he got another 100. So by the time it was done, it was 127. But it came in phases, meaning there was growth. 7. Then it went to 27. Then it went to 127. Elamiyata. So the Gemara says, if that's what you're darshaning this pasuk, Shnei Chayei Amram. Amram, as in Aaron, Moshe, Miriam's father, lived Sheva Ushloishim Mashon, 137 years. My Darshan, but you're going to Darshan it there as well. Somewhere it says, no. Shani Hacha, here it's different to Kro Yaseiro. Meaning, we're not Darshaning Sheva Vesrim Umeya because there's something inherent that tells us there's a drasha. The reason we're Darshaning is because the whole pasuk is extra. Because Mechti, Ksiv, Mehoidavad Kush. It says that he already ruled from Hoidavad Kush. Sheva Vesrim Umeya Medina Lamadi. Why do we have to say it was 127 Medinas? Shmamina, the drasha must be there's a drasha going on. Tanu Rabbat, Shloishim Mocha Bekifa. There were three people in history that ruled over the entire world. The Elohim. Achav, 1, Achashverosh, 2, and Nebuchadnezzar is 3. Achav, how do you know Achav ruled over the entire world? Chayav Chay Hashem Alekechem, Yesh Goyim Amlocha Shalei Shalach Adoini Sham Levakshecha. Ovadia tells Eliyahu HaNavi that Achav's looking for you, and he searched literally the entire world. Now, V'i Loi Dahava Molech Alayu, Heichi Matzi Majbalahu. And he swore that Achav that this is what's going on. Now, if it were not for the fact that he ruled over the whole world, how would he have been able to search the entire world? Must be Achav ruled over the entire world. Nebuchadnezzar, the Ksiba Hoyagoy Vamalocha Shalayite Nesavari B'Oy Malach Bava. He said clearly that any person anywhere that doesn't make himself subject to the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, it's going to end up getting in trouble. So you see, he ruled over the entire world. Achashverosh, how do you know Achashverosh? Hadam Maron, Mehoidavad Kush. Says the Gemara, Simin Shin Sadik Dalit Endachav. Vesuleka, is that true? Ikashloima. We just said there were three people that were Malchu Bekipa. Who were the three? Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. What about Shloima Melech? So the Gemara says, Leisalik Malchus. It's true. Shloima Melech during his prime, ruled over the entire world. But at some point, he lost his malchus. Mara says, is that true? That's all true, according to the mandama that says that's in fact what happened. There's a mandama that says that even though Shlomo HaMelech lost his malchus, but he ended up getting it back. So the Mara says, I hear. You have to say Shlomo is different for a different reason. Because Shlomo HaMelech ruled on the Elyonim, and he also ruled on the Tachtonim. Shlomo HaMelech is a whole different type of malchus. He even ruled on the Elyonim. Shenema Vayeshev Shlomo Al Kisei Hashem. His malchus is Me'ein Malchusa Derekia. Veit Gemara, another kasha. For Ikos Sancheriv, Dechsiv Kimi Bechol Elikei Arotzi So Eilash Etzilu As Artsam Miyodi. Sancheriv ruled over the entire world. I said, no, he didn't. Hoki Yerushalayim like Kofshi. He never conquered Yerushalayim. Veikud Dar Yovesh. What about Dar Yovesh? Dechsiv Dar Yovesh Malka Ksav Lechol Amami Umay Velishon Nayedi Doir Mechol Arish Lomchon Yizge. It seems like he's giving Sholem Abracha to the whole world. So it seems like every... Ikos Shev Eloi Malach Alayim. No, Dar Yovesh. There were seven nations that eluded him. Dechsiv Shvar Kodom Dar Yovesh Vahakim Al Malchusa Lachash Dar Pnaya Mav Esrin. He ruled over 120 Medinas, not 122nd. Freit the Gemara of Ikka Koyresh. What about Koyresh? Dechsiv Koyam Ar Koyresh Melech Paras Kol Mamluch Yisarot Nasan Li Hashem. Koyresh ruled over the whole world. Now you know he said so. He said Hashem gave me the whole rules. The Gemara says, yeah, it's very nice. He said so, but it's not true. Hasim Ishtabuch Yadikam Ishtabuch Menavshe. Yeah, he was just acting the part. He was faking it. But really, in reality, he didn't have it. Regardless, the Gemara says that Achashverosh Shmuel Mehoidovat Kush, and he's one of three people that were Molchu Bekipa. Who are the three? Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. Gemara says, really, there was a fourth that was Shlomo HaMelech, but Shlomo HaMelech doesn't count in this cheshbon. If you look in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, this is in Perek Yud Aleph, says that there were 10 people that were Moilech, Misoifa, Oilam, Vatsoifa. It's a different list. Not three like we have in our Gemara, 10. The list is number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nimrod, Yosef HaTzadik, he was the Mishlo Melech, Shlomo HaMelech, Achav, Nebuchadnezzar, Koyresh, Alexander Mukden, Melech HaMashiach, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the first, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the last. Nish. Shahoya Hamelocha Rishoin, Hu Hamelocha Achroin, Shenema Ani Rishoin, Vani Acharoin, Umi Balodai Ein Elokim, Viksiva Hoya Hashem Lemelech Al Kol Haaretz, Vetachzer Hamelucha LiYorsheh, Shenema Veniska Hashem Levada BeYemahu. A beautiful Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Gidal. But the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer mentions 10. You know what it doesn't mention? It doesn't mention Achashverosh. So it goes through 10, and it doesn't mention Achashverosh. It's a Pella. Achashverosh was Moilich Vahidavad Kush. But if you go through the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer a little bit better, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer mentions Achashverosh. And it says clearly that Achashverosh did not rule over the whole world. Achashverosh Molach Bechetzio Shaloylam. He ruled over half the world. May of the Sheish Esrei Medinois. 116 Medinois, ubeschus Esther nitoisfuloi achas Esrei Medinois. And then when he married Esther, in her schus he got another 11 Medinois, shenema achashverosh hamoylech mehoidu ve'ad kush. So according to the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, 127 Medinois is not the whole world. In fact, the whole world would be 232, which means the original 116 that Achashverosh had was Adchatzia Malchus. And then, when he married Esther, he ended up getting 11, which is 127, but clearly at odds with our Gemara over here in Mesechtes Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. So the second part of today's daf, like yesterday's daf, is really a whole different Inyan. I mean, still the Purim story, we're not going back to the Ein Beins, but at the same time, it's a different Inyan, and it requires a little bit of an introduction. So we don't have time to do a proper introduction, even though it really, really warrants a proper introduction. It's not such an easy ending to the daf. There's a little bit of cheshbon, but there's some basic Jewish history that we have to be familiar with in order to understand the next part of the daf. And that is, Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. He built it 480 years after Yidden left Mitzrayim. The Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years. It was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire. The king of Babel was Nebuchadnezzar. The Sarat HaBochin, the chief executioner, was Nebuzradan. They destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Not only did they destroy the first Beis HaMikdash, but they took the Yidden into exile. The first time the Jewish nation, as an entire nation, went into Golus, literally from when they entered Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, was Golus Bavel. And he took the Yidden to Bavel, and the Yidden remained in Bavel for 70 years. Eventually, they returned to Eretz Yisrael, and they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, which stood for 420 years into the Common Era, until the Romans destroyed it. Golus Bavel was... happened and developed in three phases. And the three phases are known as Golus Yehoyakim, Golus Yehoyachin, and Golus Sidkiya. Why these three names? The first phase happened when Yehoyakim was king, thus Golus Yehoyakim. The second phase happened when Yehoyakim was king, also known as Yechonia. That's why it's called Golus Yehoyakim. And the third phase happened when Sidkiya was king, thus it's called Golus Sidkiya. As it relates to the exact dates, this is very, very important. So there were 18 years from the beginning of Golus Yehoyakim until Golus Sidkiya. So really, Golus Bavel and the Churban of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash happened over an 18-year period. Very important for Pashupshat in the balance of the daf. It happened over an 18-year period. More specifically, Nebuchadnezzar became king. The way he became king was by defeating the ancient kingdom of Ashur. So Ashur, also known as Assyria, was one of the great kingdoms of the ancient world. The capital of Ashur, was a city we're all familiar with, was Nineveh. Regardless, Nebuchadnezzar defeated Ashur, and when he defeated Ashur, he took over the Malchus. 1 year later, 1 year into Nebuchadnezzar becoming Melech Bavel and being Moshel Bekipa, he went and to Eretz Yisrael, and he took the Yidden into Golus. And the first phase of Golus Bavel, from the Yid's perspective, began. It was Golus Yehoyakim. 7 years later, he returned to Eretz Yisrael, and this time he took Yechonia with him, and he didn't just take the Yechonia, the Cheresh, and the Masker. He took all the prodigies of Eretz Yisrael. That was a very, very significant milestone in Golus Bavel. But regardless, 7 years later, he takes with him all the what's Golus Yehoyakim. 11 years after that, he returned to Eretz Yisrael, some Drittenmol, and this time Tzidkiyo was the Melech. He took Tzidkiyo into Golus, and he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So the Golus happened in three phases: Golus Yehoyakim, Golus Yehoyakim, Golus Tzidkiyo. Golus Yehoyakim began 1 year after Nebuchadnezzar became king. Golus Yehoyakim happened 7 years after that. Golus Tzidkiyo, or Churban Beis HaMikdash, happened 11 years after that. So with that little bit of an introduction, the Gemara now is going to discuss the 70 years of Golus Bavel. And really, from a high level, what the Gemara is going to try to figure out now is we know that Yidden was supposed to go to Golus for 70 years. So here's the question. When do the 70 years start? Does it start from Golus Yehoyakim? Does it start from Golus Yehoyakim? Does it start from Golus Sidkiyo? It's a little bit ambiguous. If Golus Bavel started on this and that day, Tisha B'Av of the following year. Okay, so now you know exactly how to count 70 years. Stop counting. And then you know when the Golus is going to end. But it's very unclear when it started because the Golus itself happened in three phases. So because it happened in three phases, there was confusion, and we're going to see there was confusion amongst the greatest Tevelev. Daniel wasn't even sure because it was so confusing to just know exactly when the meter started ticking, when exactly the 70 years began. So Zok to Gemara, and here's the segue. It says, So it was in those days, right? This is mamish the beginning. This is the second pasuk in Megillas Esrei. So what did he do? In the third year of his malchus, also mishter, he made a party. Now, you can't even read these two psukim. It's mamash a stira. It says, "Bayomim Mahem Kishavas HaMelech." What happened by Yom HaMahim? Kishavas HaMelech, when he became king, that's when he made this big party. V'ksib Asrei. Then the next pasuk says, "B'shna Sholosh HaMelech." It happened the third year of his reign. So which one was it? Did it happen right away, or did it happen in the third year of his reign? Avias Kasha. Right? When did Achashverosh make the party? Vayhibi me Achashverosh Bayom HaMahim Kishavas HaMelech Achashverosh? As soon as he became king? Or was it B'shna Sholosh HaMelech? It was a few years later. Oh my Rava. So Rava said like this. You have to say, my Kishavas. What does Kishavas mean? La'achashen is Yashvadaite. Meaning, you want to know when he made the party? It was B'shna Sholosh HaMelech. It was in the third year of his reign. What does it have to do then with Kishavas HaMelech? Doesn't Kishavas sound like when he became king? No. Kishavas is Miloshin, not when he sat down on the throne, but Miloshin when he had Yishevadas. So what was bothering Achashverosh that he suddenly needed Yishevadas? And what happened in the third year of his Malchus that suddenly, oh, now all of a sudden he's Baruig? Amar, he said like this, Baal Shetzer made a cheshbin. He cheshbin the 70 years of Golus Bavel, he made a mistake. I made a cheshbin, but I know I'm not making a mistake. Mahi, what does this all mean? Because the Pasuk says, Pasuk in Yirmiyo, Ki koyam Hashem, ki lafim alois labavel shivim shana, Efkoid Eschem, that at the end of 70 years, I am going to redeem the Yidden. V'ksivin, there's another pasuk. This is a pasuk in Daniel. Daniel said, L'malois l'chorvois Yerushalayim shivim shana. So everyone knew, and by the way, even the kings of Bavel knew that Golus Bavel would happen and that they would be successful, but they would only be successful for a certain period of time. They'd be successful for 70 years. So Belshazzar, who was one of the kings of Bavel, he was the third king of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, had a son Evel Meroidach, who then had a son Belshazzar. So he made a cheshbon. He said like this, Chashuv, Arbon v'chamish Nebuchadnezzar, the 45 years that Nebuchadnezzar was king, that's when it lasted Evel Meroidach, 23 years that Evel Meroidach was king, he had been king already 2 years. Hashivim, 70 years. 70 years passed, and the Yidden weren't redeemed. You know what he said? We're good to go. Yirmiyahu, Daniel, all these nevuahs, not happening. The Jews have been forgotten. Must be because of all the sins that they did. And they're never going to have the geula. And Belshazzar said, this is a reason to celebrate. So you know what he did? Apik money to be makdisha. He took out all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. He had the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Because when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he took all the kelim with him to Bavel. So they had it in their genozim. So he takes out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, v'shtamishbu, and he used it. And you know what happened on that night? On that night, he was killed. And at that night, he lost the melucha to a man named Daryovesh. But the point is that he thought the 70 years had ended, and he celebrated, and the way he celebrated was by using the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is going to just pause for a second. Says the Gemara, parenthetically, how do you know all this? Meaning, Nebuchadnezzar was 45 years, Evel Meroidach, 23 years, 2 years. Is there a way for us to be able to determine this? The Gemara says, yeah, a little bit of cheshbon. How do you know Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years? Because we have a Messiah, Golu B'Sheva, Golu B'Shmoina. They either went to Golus year 7, they went to Golus in year 8. Golu B'Shmoina Esrei, they went to Golus in year 18. Golu B'Shasrei, they went to Golus in year 19. Gemara says, what does this all mean? Golu B'Sheva, they went to Golus in the 7th year. What does it mean, 7th year? Like Kibush Yoyakum. They went into Golus 7 years from Kibush Yoyakum. What was that Golus? Golus Yoyachin. Golus Yoyachin, we said, happened 7 years after Golus Yoyakum. Shishmoina Nebuchadnezzar, which was also Golus Shmoina, because 7 years to Golus Yoyakum is 8 years to when Nebuchadnezzar became king, because we said he took over Yerushalayim. He went into Eretz Yisrael 1 year into his kingdom. Golus Shmoina Esrei, the Kibush Yoyakum. What does it mean? They went to Golus in year 18. It was 18 years from Golus Yoyakum. What was that Golus called? Golus Sidkiyo, that was the third phase. Shichasrei Nebuchadnezzar, which is also 19 years from Golus Nebuchadnezzar. So essentially what the Bryce is saying is that there was an original Golus, and then 7 years later, there was Golus Yoyachin. 11 years after that, there was Golus Sidkiyo. And the Bryce is mentioning it both from the standpoint of how many years was Golus Yoyachin and Golus Sidkiyo from Golus Yoyachin, and how many years was Golus Yoyachin and Golus Sidkiyo from Malchus Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the whole premise of explaining the Braisa this way is based on the fact that 1 year into Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he took over Yoyakim. How do we know that? Amar, we have a Messiah for that. Shana Rishana Kivesh Ninveh. Year one, he took over Ninveh. Shnia Kivesh Yoyakim. And in year two, he took over Yoyakim. Okay, so Viksiv, and the pasuk says, "Vayhi b'shloishin v'sheva shana l'golus Yoyakim." It was 37 years to Golus Yoyakim. Malach Melech Yehuda, b'shnei mesrei chodesh, b'esrei mechamesh lechodesh, nasa evel meroidach, melech bavel, b'shnas malchusay, esroish yoyachin melech Yehuda, v'yoytzi yoysim ibeis hakel. The point is, the pasuk just said, it's a long pasuk, that evel meroidach allowed Yoyachin to leave the Beis HaKelah 37 years after Golus Yehoyachin. That means that's the time that evel meroidach became king. So when did evel meroidach become king? 37 years after Golus Yoyachin. How many years after Nebuchadnezzar became king was Golus Yoyachin? 8. Golu B'Sheva, Golu B'Shmoina. Yoyachin was 8 years from Malchus Nebuchadnezzar. So the Gemara does the math. Tamni, the 8 years from when Nebuchadnezzar became king until Golus Yoyachin. The Talsin B'Sheva. Now the 37 years from when Yoyachin went into Golus until Evel Meroidach became king. Haray. Arbon v'chamish. That's 45 years. The Nebuchadnezzar. That's how you know Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years. Okay. So you know Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years. Esen v'klas to Evel Meroidach. How do you know that Evel Meroidach was king for 23 years? So the Gemara says, Gemara, that's something we know by Messiah. The party the day. So then Belshazzar said, okay. So Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years. Evel Meroidach was king for 23 years. I was king for 2 years. Hashivim. 70 years. Amei said, Hashtav adeg tzulay mifriki. I know the Jews are not going to be redeemed. Apik money to be makdisho. He took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash v'shtamishbu, and he used them, and hayinu to come Amalei Daniel, this is what Daniel meant when he said, Va'almore Shemaya Hisre Mamt Ulemonaya Divise Haisiv Kodamach. He was giving him Toychacha. You took out all the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Viksiv. And the Pasuk says, what happened on that night? Bebelel Yekitil Belshazzar Malka Kazo. That night Belshazzar was king. Viksiv. And the Pasuk says, V'daryovesh Mado Kabel Malchusa Kvar Shnin Shitin V'tartin. Daryovesh took over the Malchus. He was 62 years old at the time. But the bottom line is, this is the story of Belshazzar. Sachashverish knew all this. He was a student of history. And he knew this. Amar, he said, Iyumitotoy. He said, Belshazzar made a mistake. He obviously, somewhere along the way, he messed up in his cheshbon. He said, I know where his mistake was. Meaning, clearly, the 7 years had not been up. Question is, why not? They seem to have been up. He says, no. I know he made a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. He said, Miksiv l'malchus bavel? Does it say 70 years of malchus bavel? Meaning, he's cheshboning 70 years from when? From when Nebuchadnezzar became the king. Who said it 70 years from when Nebuchadnezzar became king? Lebavel ksiv. It says 70 years lebavel. Doesn't say malchus bavel. He has been 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar was king 45, 23, 2, boom, 70 years. Nothing happened. Oh, must be. It's all over. Right? That was basically his back of the envelope cheshbon that he made. So Achashverosh said, how did he know it's from year one of Nebuchadnezzar? How does he know it's from when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Nineveh? No. It's galus bavel. This is a Jewish exile. It's probably related to something that Nebuchadnezzar did to the Yehudim. So he said, you know what it must be? It must be Galus Bavel from the Yid's perspective. So what was Galus Bavel? He felt it must be Galus Yehoyachin. That's probably what it is. So he said, Kama Betzirin, how many years I'm missing them from the Cheshbin? How many years from when Nebuchadnezzar becomes king until Galus Yehoyachin? Tamni, it's 8. No, so he went ahead, he did his own math. Choshev Ayol Chilufayo. So he added 8 years. Chada, the Balshatza, the 1 year Balshatza. V'chamish, the Dayavish, the Kairish. Dayavish and Kairish, they jointly ruled over Persia for 5 years. V'tarti did they two of his years. Hashivin, he had 70 years. Kivin the Chalazu, the Malashivin. So when the 70 years passed, it was Bishnas Shalish Lamalchai. He just got into his 3rd year. And he said, nothing happened. V'loy Ifrik, Omar. So he said, Hashtava. Nothing's going to happen. So you know what happened at that time? It was Nisyash V'daitoi. He realized now that no one's coming after him. The Jews are done. The Hefker. They're fine. He can do whatever he wants. So what did he do? Apik mani de Makdishas. We're going to learn in the coming of Mars. He took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. V'ishtamish bohu. And he started using it. Basatan v'rikid beinayim. The Satan came. Now, when Balshatzar used the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, what happened to Balshatzar? He was killed on the spot. When Achashverosh did it, he wasn't killed. But the Satan did get involved. The Satan came at Getan Sezame mitzeh. He came in Verikate Beinayim. You know what happened? Vaharigas Vashti. He killed Vashti, which was planting the seeds for the Geula, as we're about to see. But the point is, he came, did the Satan, didn't kill him. That was Balshatzar. Achashverosh had a fate. Achashverosh had a destiny that was very critical to Jewish history. And therefore, he can't get killed. Achashverosh has a lot to accomplish still in life. So Achashverosh stays around. But at the same time, something had to happen. Something was going to give. You know what gave? Vashti ends up getting killed. Fate to Gemara, I understand. Vashapra Chashev. L'chari made a good cheshbon. What was wrong with Achashverosh's cheshbon? So the Gemara says, Iyu nami mitatoi, nart gemachta tois. The iboyele lemimni micharvas Yerushalayim. Because really what he was supposed to count was not from Golos Yoyachon, but from Churban Yerushalayim, meaning from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And what was that? That was Golos Tzidkiyahu. So the Gemara says, Soif Soif Kama Betzim. Okay, so how much time is missing? Chadesar. 11 years. So we're 11 years off with the cheshbon, right? So really 11 years later, in the 14th year of his malchus, that's when the 70 years should be over. That's when the Beis HaMikdash should be built, right? There's 11 years from Golus Yoyachin to Golus Sidgiyo. So he cheshbon from Golus Yoyachin 11 years later. That's when the Gula should come. Says the Gemara, how many years was Achashverosh king? Our Beis, 14 years. So in year 14, the Beis HaMikdash should have been built. Why does the Pasuk say that's not what happened? It wasn't built until year 2 of Achashverosh's son, Daryovish. It wasn't built right away. Zachary shouldn't have been built then. So Rava said, you have to say, Shonim Mikutois Hava. You have to say that there's Shonim Mikutois. Meaning there's certain half years that we're counting twice in this cheshbon. We're taking, for example, 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar, just use this as an example. 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar and 23 years of Evel Meroidach. So we're saying, okay, 45 plus 23 is 68. But it could be a half a year of Nebuchadnezzar and a half a year of Evel Meroidach is really 1 year. So even though, 45 and 23 in the minion of the Melachim, like when you learn the beginning of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, maybe it's going to be 68. But practically speaking, if you're looking at it on a cumulative basis, it wouldn't be 68 years. Maybe it would really be 67 years. So there's 2 years that are off. Tanya Nami Hachi, there's a brisa that says, this. What exactly this means? So you'd have to go through the last Rashi on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, and the top Rashi is on Yud Beis Amid Aleph Ayin Shem, but that's basically the gist of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Belshetzer made a mistake. Belshetzer thought the 70 years was from Malchus Bavel. So 70 years from when Nebuchadnezzar became king, that's when he celebrated, he got killed. Achashverosh also made a mistake. He thought he was smarter. He was a Nibuchochem. He says, oh no, I know. It's not from Malchus Bavel. It's from Golus Yahyachin. He counted 70 years from Golus Yahyachin. He didn't get killed, but Vashti got killed. Bas Satan, Verikin Beinayim. But Lamaisi had also made a mistake. What was the Emes? The Emes was, it was from Golus Sidkiyo. Golus Sidkiyo was 11 years later, and it was from then, from the Zman of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that was the 70 years. Omar Rava. Rava said as a postscript to this Gemara, he said, Af Daniel ta b'hai chushbun. Daniel also made a mistake. Dechsev, the pasuk says, B'shnas achas l'malchoy, ani Daniel b'noisi b'svarim. Daniel says, I was going through the psalm trying to figure out when the 70 years was going to end. So the Gemara says, Midakama b'noisi, from the fact that Daniel is b'noisi, Rashi, Loshin Sfira v'cheshbon. He's counting. Michlal de Tah. Must be there was some mistake. Meaning it sounds like he's counting and he's counting again. Nochamo, what did I do wrong? So Daniel is trying to, he's hurrying over, he's grappling and struggling to make sense of this. Must be that he too made a mistake. What was the mistake that he made? The mistake that Daniel made was Daniel counted from Golus Yehoyakim. And Yehoyakim, which was 1 year after from Malchus Nebuchadnezzar, that was, so again, we said there were so many times that it could have been. Golus Yehoyakim, Golus Yehoyakim, and by the way, maybe even from Malchus Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar thought it was from the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel thought it was from Golus Yehoyakim. Achashverosh thought it was from Golus Yehoyakim. And what was the emes? It was from Golus Tzidkiyo. So the Gemara says, Mikomakim Kasha Kraya Dodi. At the end of the day, there would seem to be a little bit of a steer in the psukim. Why? Ksiv Melois Lebavel. Viksiv Lecharvois Yerushalayim. Meaning, Daniel. Let's talk about Daniel. Daniel made a mistake. He thought it was Golus Yahyakim. What do you mean? Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed until 18 years later. So why did he think it was Golus Yahyakim? Because he felt Melois Lebavel. It sounds like it's not a din in Churban Yerushalayim, Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's a din in Bavel. What was the emes? Churvos Yerushalayim. It was totally in the Churban. Oh, but the Gemara says, if that's the case, Daniel's coming from somewhere. He's coming from a pasuk. And the pasuk then would seem to be saying what Daniel said. So at the end of the day, in the final analysis, Daniel's not just making a mistake. Belshazzar, Achashverosh, whatever. But Daniel, we're talking about Daniel. Right, the Gemara in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Daniel wasn't a Navi, but he's greater than Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. How did he make this mistake? He came from a pasuk, Melois Lebavel. Why was he wrong? Oh, because it says, L'charvos Yerushalayim. Okay, Daniel knew that pasuk too. He must have thought the pasuk, Melois Lebavel, is the pasuk. But at the end of the day, do we not have a steer between the two psukim? Melois Lebavel sounds like it's 70 years from Golus Bavel. And Charvos Yerushalayim sounds like it's 70 years from the Churban. Amar Rava, so Rava said that the truth is, Melois Lebavel was also 70 years. It was 70 years lepkida ba'alma. Meaning, Golus Bavel ended 70 years from Golus Sidkiyah, like the Gemara says. And that's why Daniel made a mistake. Because he thought it was all coming to an end 70 years from Golus Yahyakim. It didn't come to an end 70 years from Golus Yahyakim. It came to an end 70 years from Golus Sidkiyah. That's when the Yidden started building the Beis HaMikdash. But something did happen 70 years after Golus Yahyakim. There was a pkida ba'alma. The Yidden were remembered. And the Yidden were given something. And this is what the pasuk means. The rest of the story, and this rest of the story is mentioned at the very, 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 very beginning of Sefer Ezra. You know what happened? As soon as Koresh became king, and by the way, in order to properly appreciate Megillas Esther, you have to learn Sefer Ezra. It's required. In order to properly appreciate what's going on, the context of the time and everything that's going on. So Koresh becomes king, and Koresh gives the Yidden permission to go up to Eretz Yisrael and to build the Beis HaMikdash. You know when that happened? 18 years before the Yidden actually built the Beis HaMikdash. It happened 70 years to the day of Golus Yahyakim. And that's pshat in the pasuk, Melois Lebavel Shivim Shana. Now, that wasn't the final redemption. It was a pekida ba'alma. The final redemption was 70 years l'churvos Yerushalayim. That's when the Yidden actually start building the Beis HaMikdash, and that happened 70 years after Golas Hidkiyo. But Daniel's mistake wasn't like Balshetzer's mistake and Achashverosh's mistake. That was Amiratzis on some level. Daniel's mistake was rooted in a pasuk. It was very, very real. It's a real thing, Daniel's mistake. There was some cheshbon of the 70 years coming to an end. When did the 70 years come to an end? It came to an end a little bit. 70 years from Golas Yaakov, when Koyush gave the Yidden permission to go up to build the Beis HaMikdash. When it came to a real final end, was 70 years from Golas Hidkiyo. That's when the Yidden actually started building the Beis HaMikdash. Darish Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda Maidich, was in the pasuk that says, Koyamar Hashem leMashiach leKoyush Hashach Zakti biYeminoi. The pasuk seems to describe Koyush as Mashiach. Afraid Rav Chizda, Koyush Mashiach? Was Koyush Mashiach? Elam Eliyah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiach. No. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to Mashiach about Koyush. Hashem tells Mashiach, Koyvel Ani Lecha Al Koresh, I'm complaining to you about Koresh. Ani amarti hu yivne beis v'yikabitz kol yoytzei. I gave Koresh the ability to build the Beis HaMikdash. V'u'omer mi bechem mikol ame v'yoh. He said, yeah, you want to go, go. I wanted him to be hands-on. I wanted him to build it. And he didn't do it. So subtle, right? He gave the Yidden permission, even gave them money. It doesn't sound like he was so terrible. But I told him to build a Beis HaMikdash, and he didn't build a Beis HaMikdash. Either way, this is a fascinating topic. And really, it gives us a little bit of an appreciation to the context of the times of the Purim story. That it happened circa the end of Golus Bavel. So just to end with one postscript, not a raid bite, but one postscript to the second part of the daf. Again, just to appreciate the historical significance of the Purim story, which is what we're about to learn now, a little bit better. And that is, so the Purim story happened at the very, very end of the 70 years of Golus Bavel. So the Yidden went into Golus Bavel for the first time as an entire nation. It was 70 years. Golus happened in different phases, and as a result, the redemption also happened in different phases. And then at the very, very end, the Purim story happened. But just to appreciate it a little bit better, and again, it flows very much from today's daf, and that is that Koresh was the second Persian king after the Malchus of Babel came down. So the Malchus of Babel lasted for 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar, 45 years. Evel Merodach, 23 years. And then Belshazzar. Belshazzar gets killed. He's killed by the Persians. The Persians and the Medes, they had this joint venture. They came together and they knocked out the Babylonian Empire. The first king that became king of that empire was a fellow by the name of Daryavesh. He's 62 years old. He lived for a total of 1 year after he became king. After he became king, Koresh, secularly known as Cyrus the Great, he becomes the next king. And the first thing he does is he changes his foreign policy towards the Jews. He tells the Jews that I know that my predecessors, and you know, we are, the Babylonian Empire destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Well, we're going to shift the way we see things. You can go build the Beis HaMikdash. Take the Kalim back. It's all yours. Go back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, you would have thought all the Jews would have jumped on this opportunity. It's not what happened. There were 42 some odd thousand Yidden that went. Even Ezra didn't go, Chazal say. But the point is, the Yidden go, and they start building the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, they built the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. They built the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash. Several years later, people started complaining to the Persian Empire. The Jews are rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash and we smell trouble. They lobbied the king and the king brought a halt to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. You know who that king was? His name was Achashverosh. This was several years later. About 4 or 5 years later, Achashverosh is now the king, and he's the one that stops it. In fact, the pasuk in Ezra, the Gemara mentioned it in today's daf, fleetingly. U'bemalchus Achashverosh, betchilas malchusai, in the beginning of his kingdom, kosfu sitna al yoshve Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. So this is an important connection, understanding who Achashverosh is. The Persian Empire, their policy towards the Jews, let them rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Live and let live. Not just that, we'll even help you. We'll bankroll it. Achashverosh now becomes king. He's the third king of this Persian Empire. He walks in. Betchilas Malchusai Kosfu Sitna Al Yoishve Yehuda V'Yerushalayim. He gets the Yidden to stop. He says, no, you're not going to be able to build a Beis HaMikdash anymore. And the construction is halted and remained halted throughout the 14 years that Achashverosh was king. It was Achashverosh's son Daryavesh, who was also Esther's son. 2 years into his Malchus, he gave the Yidden permission again to build the Beis HaMikdash. So Achashverosh's legacy is, of course, the Purim story. But almost as significant, Achashverosh actually caused the Yidden to stop building the Beis HaMikdash. Now let's take a step back. With that basic fact Psukim and Sefer Ezra. There's different chazals we could appreciate a little bit better. The Gemara said in today's daf, why was Achashverosh called Achashverosh? He was Achav L'Rosh. He was like a brother. To who? To Nebuchadnezzar. He was Ben Giloy Shel Rosh. He rolled the same way Nebuchadnezzar did. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and Achashverosh wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Where do you find Achashverosh wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Achashverosh didn't live at the times of the Beis HaMikdash. No. They had already built the Yesod of the Beis HaMikdash. Construction was happening. There were crews working, making klah, mibefnim, mibachutz, makriv and afal pishayim bayis. And all of a sudden Achashverosh comes and he says, no, stop. Who does this sound like? This sounds like Nebuchadnezzar. That's exactly what the Gemara says. We know that Achashverosh throughout the Megillah is going to offer Esther at Chatzi Amalchus. You can have whatever you want, but only up to Chatzi Amalchus. The Gemara says, what do you mean at Chatzi Amalchus? Not the whole Malchus? The Gemara says, no, what he meant to say was, I'll give you up to Chatzi Amalchus, but V'loy Adavar HaChoytzeitz Ben Amalchus. You can't have the thing that's in the middle of my Malchus, which is referring to the Beis HaMikdash, which the Gemara says is Gevaya Mikol Arotzis, it's in the middle of the world, whatever. But the point is Achashverosh told Esther, I'll give you whatever you want, you're just not getting the Beis HaMikdash. So Achashverosh has something for the Beis HaMikdash. And Achashverosh's agenda is to make sure that the Yidden are not going to have a Beis HaMikdash. But it's even more fascinating. Because if you go through Ezra Perek Dalet says that Achashverosh was lobbied. There were people that lobbied Achashverosh and they wanted to make sure that Achashverosh would not allow the Yidden to continue to build the Beis HaMikdash. You know those people who are? Rashi says in Megillas Esther, on the posnik aseres b'nei haman. Zok the Hilger Rashi. Ro'isi b'seder oilam. I saw in Seder Oilam. Seder Oilam was the first history work that was ever written. It was written by Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. So said Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, aseres b'nei haman, elu asara shekosfu sitna al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. These were the 10 people that were involved in the sitna, in this decree that made sure that the Yidden would not be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. K'may shekosfu b'sefer Ezra, perek dalet. U'b'malchus achashverosh, b'tchilas malchusoy, kosfu sitna al Yoshve Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. U'mahi asitna, what was the sitna? Levata lo'oyla min ha'goyla b'mei Koresh, to stop the people that were going to Eretz Yisrael in the times of Koresh, she'eschilu live in the Sabayis. They had started building the Beis HaMikdash. V'lshinu aleim akutim v'chtilim. And the kutim got involved and they got them to stop. U'kishameis Koresh, when Koresh died, u'molach Achashverosh became king, v'esnasei Haman, and then Haman became a gansa knacker, dog shloyasku oisam shushalayim b'minyan. He wanted to make sure that Achashverosh was going to stop. V'sholchu b'shem Achashverosh sorry, ever anor levatan. And that's when it stopped. So Achashverosh is Achiv Shal Nebuchadnezzar. He's the one that the Pasuk says in Ezra stopped the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. He told Esther, Atchatzi, I'll give you whatever you want, Atchatzi Amalchus. And throughout the 14 years of his reign, even though he was married to Esther for so many of those years, nothing happened as far as the Beis HaMikdash goes. But what got him to that point? Who moved him? The same person that got him to sign the decree, Lahashmedu Laharig. It was Haman, but not just Haman. Haman and his 10 sons. Haman and his 10 sons, they're the ones that made sure that the Beis HaMikdash would not be rebuilt. But we know the end of the story. The end of the story is eventually Achashverosh died. And when Achashverosh died, his son became the next king. The son's name was Daryavish. Daryavish had a father, Achashverosh. His mother was Esther Amalka. Daryavish was very, very young. If you just do the math, on all accounts, he was very, very young at the time. And it's very, very obvious that Daryavish's mother, Esther Hamalka, is whispering into Daryavish's ear when he's making some of these global decisions. And Daryavish is the one that gives the Yidden permission to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. And if you think about it, it's no question that this is part of the V'nahapachu of what happened during the Purim story. Achashverosh is Achiv Shal Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. Haman Vaseres Banav, more than anything else, what they want is to make sure that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. But then the whole Purim story happened. Vashti gets killed, and eventually Esther becomes the queen. And Esther's own son becomes the king of Persia. He is now suddenly the one that's writing checks that literally can finance things as great as the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Esther whispers into her son's ear and says, this is something that's very, very important to the Jews. And the Yidden ended up having the Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, where did the money come from?
to build the Beis HaMikdash. We saw that at the beginning of the daf. It came from Haman. It came from his sons. So Haman and his sons, who were Moisei Nefesh, who made it their lifelong agenda to make sure there would be no Beis HaMikdash. Not only was there a Beis HaMikdash, not only did it come through Mordechai and everything that they were trying to destroy, they actually paid for the Beis HaMikdash. Is there a bigger venapachu than that? The venapachu la Yehudim was that they literally end up financing the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So, of course, the Purim story in and of itself doesn't need any help. It's an incredible story. It's a miracle where there was a decree of a final solution where ultimately it ended up being La'ihuda Maisa Oira V'Simcha V'Sasain V'Yikar. But the Purim story also led to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Purim story, Achashverosh, Haman, Aseres Banav, they're very much interwoven with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to say, what do you mean? I thought Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzradan destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. This is true. But in the beginning of the Malchus of Koresh, which was right after the fall of the Babylonian Empire, Koresh gave the Yidden permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And Koresh now is going and he wants to rebuild it. And the Yidden go and they have money and they even take some of the Kalim. In fact, one of the kashas the Rishonim ask is, Achashverosh took the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. I thought when Koresh sent the Jews to Eretz Yisrael, they took the Kalim with them. The Ramban asks this kasha. This is a Ramban's kasha here in Masechtas Megillah. But the point is, they go up to Eretz Yisrael, they have all the Kalim, and they even dig a, they pour a foundation. And they're about to go now and they're going to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. Achashverosh and Haman stop it. After the Purim story, Esther becomes the queen of Persia. That allows the Yidden now to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. And again, this whole maisa of in the Nahapachu, especially Haman Vaseres Banav, everything they tried doing ended up backfiring. So much so that it was all the money of Haman, everything that he had amassed, everything that he used as power for, ended up 100% being what caused the construction. And this is just a connection between the Purim story and the second Beis HaMikdash.